Crystal Craven. I am a singer, a songwriter, and a worship leader, and I am passionate about sharing what God inspires. And this is your weekly devotional. All right, Luke 13, verses 22 through 30 says, "He, being Jesus, went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, 'Lord, will those who are saved be few?' And he said to them, 'Strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, open to us," then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." Now, having recognized what Jesus meant as he compared the kingdom of God to a mustard tree and to leavened bread, this person then asks if those who are saved would be few. In Jesus, in his typical fashion of not really being direct, but speaking in ways that would require ears to hear what the Spirit was saying through him, he told everyone to strive to enter through the narrow door. He also made it perfectly clear that some would desire to enter, but would not be able to. And he explains this really hard truth that some will hear God say to them in the end, "I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil." Now, this concept of the narrow door is further understood in places like Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, when Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." And then also in John 10, verses 7 and 9, when Jesus said again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." And then it's also made perfectly clear in John 14:6, when Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The kingdom of God, while on earth, we know will be corrupted as it flaunts its mustard tree size and rises from the leaven within. But the true kingdom of God, as it will be complete in heaven, is exclusive to those who accept Jesus' sacrifice on their behalf, being completely justified and accepted as perfect in Christ before God the Father. There is no alternative way to God and having an eternal residence in heaven with him except through Jesus. If one does not want to be with God in heaven, they're not going to be forced to. Their free will here and now can be exercised to choose to deny salvation. But in the end, if they do, they'll be turned away and end up being in a place described by Jesus where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, Jesus describes the people who will be in the kingdom of heaven. Among them, he says, is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets. But what did all of those people have in common? It was faith in the promises of God. Although they hadn't lived to see the earthly coming of Jesus as Messiah, they trusted what God said about his plan of salvation. And even though they died on earth, they live forever with God in heaven because of where they placed their faith. Now, we, having, come on this earthly timeline after Jesus came as Messiah, we have this in common with them. Our faith that God's promise of old, salvation through Jesus, which came to fruition with Jesus' work on the cross and through his resurrection, it's what allows us to enter through the narrow door. We've all been given a measure of faith, but it all matters and depends on where we place it. Placing our faith in Jesus Christ leads to eternal life with God forever. But placing our faith in anything else leads to a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth and being eternally separated from God. Now, following what Jesus said in last week's devotional about the kingdom of God, which we saw grows unnaturally large and it houses birds of the air, and with corruption, there will not only be those people who flat out just choose not to follow Jesus, right? They deny him, but there will be some that will have been deceived into thinking that they were good with God, but they weren't. Unfortunately, there are false doctrines that have crept in and they teach things like God's love only and don't want to teach things like repentance and sanctification because it doesn't feel good. The Word of God is living and active, and it is able to sanctify us and carving out our old sin nature and making us complete into the image of God in the end. This is all part of God's design with our salvation, and it is a good plan. So if a church is shying away from teaching the whole Bible and it skips over the harder topics because it doesn't fall in line with what they're describing as God's love, which really ends up just being tolerance and acceptance with a disdain for repentance and obedience, then I can tell you with confidence that people in those types of churches are deceived. They end up going through their whole lives, living how they see fit, could even be in a relatively moral way, attending church on Sundays, thinking they're good to go with the big man upstairs, as they get their feel-good message about how much God loves them. But when the end comes, they're going to be confused as to why they're not actually good with God. And it's because they never ended up placing their faith in Jesus. They seek to enter through that wide open door of convenience and false doctrine instead of the narrow door in which Jesus admonished them to enter through. Now, how can we then know who's saved or not saved, right? Well, the Bible is very clear that our salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is completely a gift from God that we accept through faith. So once we are in Christ, we cannot be snatched out of his hand. Our salvation is secure. But the real question here is, are you actually in his hand? Now, I would hate to tell someone like, oh, God loves them, which is true, mind you, and then they accept Jesus, but then fail to tell them that salvation's only the beginning of their relationship with God, in which he desires to change and bring us into obedience to him. Because that would be really unloving. Because then they're going to think, oh, I maybe said a prayer. I said, yes, I received salvation. And me, not knowing the soil of their heart, they could be deceived if that seed isn't watered and grows. And that is the whole concept of discipleship. It is being God's hands to help tend to the seedling and help equip them to be in the water of the Word of God and to grow. Do you remember growing up as a child and getting growing pains in your legs? I used to get them so bad when I was little, and dude, do those things hurt. But when we would get those, it meant that our bodies were growing the way that they should in order to mature into adulthood. Much like that, our walks with God can be downright painful sometimes. But if we keep on the straight and narrow pathway, following Jesus, we will indeed grow to be mature in Him and be able to enter through the narrow door into the eternal kingdom of God in the end. Now, I do want to encourage you. If you are saved, you are following Jesus, you know your salvation is secure. I don't want you to live in fear of hearing, "I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil." But instead, make sure you're intentional of abiding in Jesus, following Him daily, and living for that upward call of God in Christ Jesus with that eagerness to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For blogs, written devotionals, and originally written songs, visit crystalcravenmusic.com. And that is Crystal with a K and Craven with a C.